I want to talk about the importance of the Word of God and write a few of these down or make mental notes anyway. You have no idea where you'd be if you hadn't been under the sound of the Word of God most of your lives, some of you all your lives. You have no idea where you, I don't know where I'd be. But I don't think we appreciate the Word of God as much as we probably should. And it has done us more good than we think it has. And we cannot overcome sin without the Word of God. We cannot live for God without His Word. That's all there is to it. So I don't know how much you've been into it this week, but if you haven't been into it very much, I hope I'll stimulate you. The rest of the week, you'll be in it more than you have been. And what really, when I'm studying the Bible, what I'm studying at that time, that's all that's in the Bible. It's kind of funny how that works. I talked to Jimmy Barber about that one time. We got to kind of laughing about it. Whatever attribute of God you're on, that's the only one there is, holiness or omniscience or omnipotence. You see it everywhere. Well, I say this, I can't take the time I want to tonight. It'd be too long. But what really got me on this, I know I'm getting older. I may live a long time. I may not. I don't know. I'm not even thinking about that now. But I do have a tremendous desire that after I am gone, that the people of God that I've ministered to will be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. And I'm not the only one that feels that way. Two apostles felt that way. I want to look at them first and then have others. I'm just going to read the scriptures. I won't be doing a lot of preaching, mainly just reading the Bible and believing it will have an effect on you. But the one man I want to talk about is the Apostle Paul. And over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is the last book he wrote. We all know that. 2 Timothy is the last thing that he wrote. He was in prison when he wrote it. And not the benevolent imprisonment, relatively speaking, where he wrote Philippians and the other prison epistles. That's when he was pretty good shape. He was in his own rented house and was able to receive visitors. And he wrote four books of the Bible while he was there. That's not the one. This last imprisonment was a bad imprisonment. He was in the Mamertine prison. And this is where he actually died a martyr's death at the end of this imprisonment, as Nero had him beheaded. So he's at the end of his life, and his favorite preacher, or at least one of his favorite preachers, if not the favorite preacher, was Timothy. And Paul's giving him a charge. He's telling him how bad things really are. And this, if you look at this book, he said, Timothy, all the ages you have forsaken me. That's the first church that he started. Alexander the coppersmith is against me. Demas, who used to be one of my buddies, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So it looks like a dismal scene, but Paul's not down. You think, well, he ought to be. He's not really down at all. And so he loves Timothy. And so what can he give him as a legacy to carry on? And let's look at it. Let's look at it. He didn't say things are going to get better. He didn't say that at all. So let's look. I'm just going to go here briefly. This is the old man now fixing to leave, and he wants to leave something behind valuable. This is like his last will and testament, I'll call that, to his children, to Timothy and his children. So let's look at this. You know it by memory probably, but don't let familiarity breed contempt. Chapter 4, verse 1, we read a few verses. Now things have been looking real bad. And then the last two verses of chapter 3, he talks about the importance of Scripture, which I won't read that now. That's the inspiration of Scripture. That's just what you got, is the Bible. You got the inspired Word of God. That's what we got too. So I charge thee, therefore, before the God, and there's a solemn charge, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, in his appearing in his kingdom. What are you supposed to do? What I want you to do, Timothy? Preach the word. Just preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. You preach it when it's encouraging, preach it when it's discouraging. When you're discouraged, preach it when you're encouraged. Preach it when you see results, preach it when you don't see results. Preach it when things look good, preach it when things bad, just preach it. In season, out of season. Preach it when the people seem to be receptive, preach it when they don't seem to be receptive. Just preach the word. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Just keep on doing it. All longsuffering and doctrine. Keep teaching. Then he didn't say things are going to get better. He kind of discouraged you when he fixed to say it looks like a little bit. The time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but will, after their own lust, shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. We got itching ears. We want the kind of teacher we want to hear. We don't want to hear somebody that's preaching us things we don't want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So a lot of the people, that's going to happen. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. Then I'll finish through verse 8. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall show me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So isn't that great? Preach the word. That's what he told him to do. And then Peter, this is the last thing he wrote too. And Paul knew he was fixing to die. We saw what he said. I'm now ready to be offered. God showed him I'm fixing to be offered. And he was going to be offered. He did get offered. Well, Peter's in the same boat. He knows it won't be long till he's going to be also leaving. So what's he passionate about? This is one of my favorite passages of the whole Bible. You'll see why as I read it. This is over in 2 Peter in chapter 1. And it's just great material that I'd like to say something about the rest of that, but I won't. I'd like to get context, but I want to get context this time. It's just tremendous. So what is he going to say? What is he passionate about? I mean, absolutely passionate about. Verse 12. Let's start at verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. You already know it, and not only do you know it, you're established in the present truth. You say, well, don't, brother Zach, go to something else. And we know all that. That's don't fall into that trap here. I don't want to be dull and uninteresting. That's inexcusable in a preacher to do that because he's lazy. But if a man's preaching the truth, if he just goes over and over the same material, we ought not to get tired of that. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them, be established in the present truth. Yeah, I think it meet is appropriate as long as I'm in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's what I'm hoping to do tonight, stir you up. Because we need to be stirred up, don't we? It's like a fire. Just kind of, it gets down to the embers. We think it's going out. We got to stir that sucker and blow on it and put some wood on it. And that's what he's doing right here. He puts some wood on the fire and blowing it a little bit. And that's what I want to do tonight. That's why we ought to come to church often. Because we're sinners and we tend to get cold. And we need to be warmed up a lot. I think it may, as long as I'm alive, man, he said, I'm going to stir you up and put in your remembrance. Knowing this, see, he knows I'm fixed to leave. Knowing that shortly, I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. That's amazing. I don't have any premonition I'm fixed to die. I may, but I don't have that right now. And I don't know where I will or not. You don't know whether you will or not either. But these two men have premonitions, divine premonitions. They're fixing to lie. And they want to say, this is what's important. Paul said, you preach the word. See, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even how our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Then he said in verse 15, I love this. Moreover, I'll endeavor. You may be able after my decease, when I'm gone, you may be able after my decease, have these things always in remembrance. Now he gets passionate. This is where I get passionate. What in the world could that be important? Now let me set the stage a little bit. What could be that important? What are you so excited about? That even though people are established in this and know the truth, you want to keep on preaching it anyway, stir them up. And even after you're dead, you want them to lay hold on this stuff and not forget it. What's so important? And here it is, folks. I tell you, it's amazing. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. I haven't either. I preach the word of God. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not a Zig Ziglar. I like old Zig, but I'm not Zig Ziglar. I'm not Norman Vincent Peale. I'm not Dale Carnegie. I may not be as smooth as they are, but I've got the word of God. And what I've got is important. We've not followed cunning devised fables. We made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I mentioned this Sunday, talking about the humiliation of Christ, that he did briefly show some of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's making reference to that, but I'm fixing to make a point. See, he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. What an amazing time. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him, the Holy Mount. That's powerful. That's so powerful. The experience these men had, they never forgot it. In fact, John mentioned that over in 1 John 1:5 about this amazing light. And these three men, James, John, and Peter, were just, they never forgot this experience. But that's something else. It had been wonderful to be on that mountain, wouldn't it? Could I have been on the Mount of Transfiguration? I'm thinking to read you a verse. If it wasn't Bible, I wouldn't believe it. But I believe it. Get this now. And if you could get a hold of this, you'd read the Bible more if you really get a hold of it and believe it. The amazing experience. Get this now. we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, you know what that's talking about? It means you're better off having the Bible than you would have been if you'd been on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, you may not believe that, but if you don't, you ought to. It's the Bible says that. That's what this is saying right here. I know there's sometimes the scripture is so powerful, I've got to say, God, I've got to get a hold of that. Now, I want to wrap myself around that. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. This is by the word of God. Whereby you do well, you take heed, as a day as a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, this is one of the classic, there are two classic passages. One of them's over in Timothy, this classic on the inspiration of Scripture. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That don't mean we can't interpret the Bible. That's what the Catholics say, but they get that wrong. They don't know what the Greek even means. It just means nobody just came up with the Bible on his own. That's what it means. Nobody just came up with the Bible. So that's what this is talking about. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but the holy men of God spake, and they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were born along by the Holy Ghost, literally. Just like a wind and a sail. They're born along by the Holy Ghost when they wrote this Bible, inspiration of Scripture. Isn't that amazing? Do you really believe that? I know you do. I'm not trying to insult you. I kind of actually say myself, Dad, do you believe that? Do I believe this here in a more sure word of prophecy? You mean God, this right here, I've got more valuable if I had been on the Mount of Transfiguration? That's what it says. That's what it says. Isn't that something? So let that stir you up tonight. Now, that's the two ones. I just want to show you these old boys that wanted to leave something behind, which I do too, and that's the Word of God. Not me, not my personality, not my ability, which is limited anyway. That's not what I'm interested in. But the Word of God. You thank God we have preachers. I'm not saying me necessarily, but let's thank God we got preachers in our generation who are faithfully studying the Word of God. I love to see Timothy and Isaac and Andrew and men like that study. Listen, they're conscientious. You ought to thank God for that. They're digging into the Word of God. They're laboring over the Word of God. We got a lot of men today doing that, and I praise the Lord for it. We ought to thank God for that. It's a valuable gift. I'm glad Hassel Wallace was a man that helped me out so much in my early ministry. He was digging into that Word of God. Not a game with him. It's a passion with him. And we think, well, if you eat a steady diet, the Word of God, for decades, you may not have really realized you're growing, but you are growing. You're benefiting more than you think you are. We all are. I know it's the truth. Let me just give you, I'm going to go somewhere in a minute, but let me give you this. Listen, you need to remember this. Over in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God, the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and written the just shall live by faith. The gospel, the power of God, and salvation. It's delivering you. It's saving you. It's saving you. You know that? And over in the same thing, he's not talking about getting born again here at all. He's talking about your salvation being maintained in a healthy state by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll show you that. Over in 1 Timothy, and I won't go all these scriptures I've got written down, and if I did, we'd be here a long time, but I want to go some of them, and hope you'll wrap this your heart around some of these. But he told Timothy this, and I've told Andrew this, and he's doing it too. It's over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at that a minute. This is something else. This is what's happening to you as a result of faithful preachers preaching the Word of God to you as you read the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 14, okay? I'm going to start in verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And that's why we have public reading here. That word reads public reading of the word right there. That's why when I read that one time, I looked the Greek up and said, you know, we ought to start having the Bible read at Great Chapel. That's public reading. That's why we do that. That's why I want to have a chapter almost every Sunday morning. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, because see, preachers need to be stirred up too. Not only the people need to be stirred up, the preachers need to be stirred up. You ought to pray for us. We will get stirred up. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, with laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Timothy, you meditate. You think deeply on this. You ponder this. You let this be your every waking moment. And that's the way it is with me. I'm not bragging at all, because I'm a great sinner. I'm the biggest sinner in the church. You knew how, if they had a blurb come up like a cartoon thing, by my thoughts, I wouldn't even come to church. I can't believe how bad I am sometimes. But I do know one thing. I'm trying my best to meditate almost all the time. I jump out of bed in the morning. That's the first thing I want to do. Sometimes I may fail, but that's what I'm trying to do. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Thy profiting may appear to all. We ought to want to see our ministers grow. We ought to want to see each other grow. It encourages me when I see you grow. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, the teaching. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There's a saving in, my friend, the regular hearing and reading and studying of the Word of God. I want to encourage you about that. You got some powerful weapons right here. All right, a few more. Okay, Joshua. I was going to go to Joshua. This is great. Now, Joshua had a hard job. He had to take over from Moses. Moses had led the people of Israel. He was one of the greatest men that ever lived, the Bible says, Moses. He met God face to face. God said, I met Moses face to face. So Joshua got a hard job. You take these people now that I had delivered out of Israel. And Moses, by the way, he loved the people of God too, even though they were rebellious. I won't go to that one, but he begged God. God said, Moses, you can't go into the promised land. You messed up at the rock. You messed up at the rock. You smoked that rock and you said, we bring water out. You messed up. You can't go into Canaan. I'm going to let you go to Mount Pisgah and look at it. You can't go in there. So the Moses didn't get me. You know what he said to God? He said, please then, if you won't let me go in, send a man in that will lead your people. Don't let your people be like sheep without shepherd. And a true servant of God feels that way. Lord, don't let them go without a shepherd. Give them somebody to take care of them. He loves the flock of God. So he had a hard job to do, but he did a good job. David Powell pointed out when he was here, maybe one time, one of the most successful characters in the Bible was Joshua. One of the men that made the fewest mistakes was Joshua. That's right. This is a real good portion of history. That wasn't perfect. I realize that. They should have driven all the Canaanites out. They didn't. They messed up there. But this is a really pretty powerful time in Joshua's ministry. What's the secret of Joshua? You got this hard job, Joshua. You got to take Canaan's land. Drive all these seven Hittites out of here. Hittites and Canaan, all those Hittites, you know what I'm talking about. Pretty bad, like a bunch of roaches or something. Which we had a hard time getting rid of at the house. Anyway, look at here. How are you going to do it? Let me ask you, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? You people who have sin problems, how are you going to do it? You people who got a devil, got a target on your back, why are you going to do it? You live in this world we live in that's getting increasingly worse. How are you going to do it? There's not but one way. One way, and it'll work. But I'll show it to you right now. 1:8, Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, this Bible, this book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth day or night. I mean, out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate there. Meditate, not just read. You know, if that's all you can do, do that anyway. If you get so sleepy, that's all you can do. Do something. More will stick with you than you think, even if you're sleepy. You know that? Let me just deviate for a second. I had a tape one time. I'm going to try to find it again. There's a guy, there's a missionary, making a speech in Canada. And he had been in China in when the communists took over. I think in 1949, when the communists took over. I know what, after World War II. And they had the Civil War, the Nationalists and the Reds. And the Reds won. And when the Reds took over, they began to persecute Christians. So this man was taken prisoner. And they began to brainwash them. If they could break them, they'd kill them. And they were doing sleep deprivation, torture, all kinds of things. This man was, I heard him speak on this tape. He said, what happened? He said, I didn't ever break. He said, scripture that I never even remember reading would come to my mind. Passages I'd even if it's not sure it's the word of God, it would seem to be, would come to my mind. When I got out of prison, when he finally got back to Canada, and I began to read the Bible, I found those passages and realized some of them were scriptures my mother had maybe learned against my will. I didn't get anything out of it when I was a kid. So you read the Bible even when you're sleepy, and more of it will stick with you than you think it does. But it's better if you give God your good part of your mind. I fight that all the time. I'm doing better than I used to. I told you before, I know y'all get tired of this, but I used to have a fight between the newspaper and the Bible. That's not too much of a fight anymore. The Bible getting winning a lot more. I don't like a newspaper anyway, except I like Ryan's articles. The Ryan's articles, the sports page, And a funny page, that's it. That's all you have it. But that Bible, my friend, and the good part is, if you make yourself read it, you'll be glad in a few minutes you did. You don't want to get into it sometimes because you're a sinner. And the devil doesn't want you in that. He'll try to hinder you. But if you'll start reading it, I promise you most of the time, pretty quick, you'll say, I really am glad I did this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have success. All right, a few more scriptures, we'll be through. Psalms. What's the first psalm about? The Word of God, right? In his law, does he meditate? Finish it. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. Remember that one? What's the longest chapter of the Bible? Come on. Psalm 119. What's every verse about? The Word of God. Every verse in Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. In fact, this is a precious thing to me because I bought this Bible in India on a trip when I was with Timothy there one time. And not too long after that, I went to Siberia. And so I got this great, this is wonderful here. Psalm 119, read with relish and delight, Friday, 8/14/06 in Nizhdudensk, don't hold me on that, Siberia, in the home of Alexander Goncharov. Man, that's a precious memory. And I found all kinds of stuff in here. I marked prayers. I couldn't tell you how many prayers. Paul, reading the Word of God would turn him to prayer. The entire one psalm, biggest book in the Bible, Psalm 119, every verse has something to do with the Word of God. Now, Psalm 19, which is kind of a mini version of that, let's look at that just for a second. You know this one, Psalm 19. I want to preach on this one of these days. I never have done it to my satisfaction because there's some stuff here that's just wonderful to dig out. I'll read it real briefly, not the whole psalm. But let's look at the part that has to do with the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now that, we got a woodshed that, hadn't we? We can dig into that, can't we? There's a lot in that in there. Besides just reading it, you work on that psalm. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Work on that in a little bit. I don't like John MacArthur sometimes, but sometimes I like him, and I like him on this. Get on his website; he got a good sermon on this. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Six descriptions of the Word of God. Then let's read a little bit further. Here's how it ought to be with us. More to be desired are they than gold, yet much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Valuable and delightful. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, in keeping of them their great reward. I won't read the rest of that, even though I like to, but I won't. All right, let's look at one or two more. Okay, look at Ephesians 5. Let's look at Ephesians for a minute. Any of y'all got some sin problems that just bugging you and you just can't seem to get over them and just word you to death? Well, I got a word picture for you. Old Jefferson can kind of, he's a doctor, he can get in on this. Sometimes you've got to flush a wound out. Got an old nasty wound. I know when I was in the Boy Scouts, I went to Camp Kaikima down at Hardy, Arkansas. I loved it down there. I learned how to canoe and all that. And anyway, I cut my toe real bad, my big toe, on the bottom of it. And so they'd get that old sand and gravel in there. And every day, that guy would take me to the infirmary, and it just killed me. He would dig that stuff out, Jefferson, with a swab. That thing, though, they used mercurochrome, they called back in those days. That old mercurochrome burned me up. He said, if I don't get this stuff out of here, it's going to heal over. You'll have that old stuff in there, and it won't really ever heal right. Well, you may have some wounds like that, some sin wounds. And he would wash it out with some stuff, too. I bet Justin probably washed his wounds out. You got to wash them out, see? Well, the Word of God will wash it out of you if you stand there alone. Most of us don't stand there long enough. So, well, it didn't work. You know why it didn't work? You didn't work it like you should have. Let's read that over in Ephesians 5. Just one verse, because that's what I want to get. This is over in Ephesians 5:25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So you get big portions of the word of God and wash it out. See, we don't try hard enough, I don't think. It works. The Bible said it works. We can't blame the Bible if it doesn't work. It's our own fault. So that's something we hadn't got a handle on yet. And then, of course, the famous classic is over in Ephesians 6:17. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what we fight the devil with, the sword of the Spirit. Jesus Christ set the example on that. So I've got enough. I've got some more written down here, but there's no point in me reading anymore. I made my point. Listen, the word of God is important. It's essential. It's non-negotiable. It's not optional. It's not optional. You'll never be strong. You'll never grow. Desire the sincere milk of the word, you may grow thereby. So I want to encourage you. I know we live in an age of distraction. I know that. You guys are working hard. We got men working hard, sisters working hard at home and stuff. And I know it's hard. But we got to make time for you kids going to school and have a lot of playing ball stuff and working stuff. You got to, you know, I know how hard it is. I used to hate college. Well, I liked it in a way, but I hate it. You know why I hate it? I couldn't read what I wanted to read, dang it. I got to read this stinking book for a test, and I won't read this book over here. When I got out of school, just take me, I could read what I wanted to. But you got to read God's word. You got to read it. I want to see you grow. You will not grow unless you're in God's word. It's a great book. I just can't say enough about it. You know, I know you all know all this, but I'm not going to let you forget it. Dig into it. Study it. We got people in our church that study the word. We got women that study the word of God. Hallelujah. We got women that study God's word. You got to study it too. If you're not studying, get in there. I'll help you do it. If you need some help, I'll help you. It's fun. It's a joy. Sister Patty, right now, we got to pray for her. She's in the hospital right now, but I love the way she does it. She got a center reference Bible, so she just made a habit for years. She'll run every reference in there. It'll take her forever to get through a chapter. But she had a lot of fun. Get a verse over here, verse over here, verse over here, and she just feeds her soul. Richard Creekmore. I know he's not putting on, because I never let him know what I'm coming. I just sneak in the room. Hey, blockhead, that's what he liked me to call him. And he does. He had me call him blockhead. I'm not something. That's what the guy in the truck line used to call him. But I go in there. Kiefer, I don't know how it is. Every time I've been in there, every time in the Word of God, every time. Let's all do it, okay?